welcome to this episode of Stacks and Stories, the podcast of the Mississippi Library Commission. Join me, Zach Burton, as I look back at some of our MLC moments, which cover some of our WPA files and the histories collected within. For those who don't know, MLC moments are educational shorts that are aired every Sunday on Mississippi Public Radio. Tune in while Alex and I cover some Mississippi County history. First up, we have Alex talking about Calhoun County.
This is MLC Moments. I'm Alex Brower with the Mississippi Library Commission. Today, we are going to talk about MLC's collection of WPA papers, digitized records from the 1930s, when the Works Progress Administration sent field workers to each county to compile local histories. These histories included local artists, flora and fauna, myths and legends, notable homes and people, and much more. While they aren't necessarily the most authoritative sources because they depend on memory and, occasionally, gossip, they do give a clear picture of each county through the 1930s and can be a wealth of lesser-known and local information. There is a disclaimer at the beginning of each file that says because of the diversity of sources and fallibility of human memory, it is suggested that documentary materials be consulted to validate the information in the volume. Our featured county this week is Calhoun County, created by an act of the legislature on March 8, 1852, from parts of Yallabusha, Chickasaw, and Lafayette counties. There is an unexpected connection between Calhoun County and the English monarchy. According to Stanley Murphy, editor of the Monitor Herald in Calhoun City, a lumber dealer came across a white oak tree in a swamp, possibly the Yallabusha River swamp, and decided it was the finest specimen he had ever seen. He purchased the tree, cut it into logs, and shipped the logs to the St. Louis World Fair. One of the people who saw the logs was King George V, who said he had never seen such perfect logs and purchased them immediately. Once the king saw the beautiful lumber from the logs, he demanded a bed be made and put into his private bedroom. Unfortunately, MLC staff could not find evidence of King George V having attended the World's Fair in St. Louis. Aside from possibly being the birthplace of famous furniture, Calhoun County was very musical. The WPA papers mention the annual State Fiddlers Convention held at Big Creek. The crowd was estimated at 3,000 for the 1937 convention and was mentioned in newspapers around the state. An article in the August 20, 1932 Clarion Ledger about the third annual Fiddlers Convention mentioned that 48 musicians would be taking part, with Z.W. Powell serving as president and master of ceremonies, and Professor Alan Strain serving as secretary. Fiddlers were not the only special guests. According to the Coffeyville Courier from 1936, three congressional candidates were coming to speak to the gathered crowds. Speaking of newspapers, the first paper published in Calhoun County was the Calhoun Reporter, which began publication in the 1870s. The Calhoun Monitor was established in Pittsburgh in 1900 by T.M. Murphy, and an article from the first issue of the paper is transcribed at the WPA files. The article describes the challenges faced to get the printing outfit, a Washington hand press, old-style Gordon job press, 200 pounds of 12-point body type, 200 pounds of body type that was not on a point system, and cases and case stands had to be brought to the paper's main office. The subscription price for the early papers was $1 per year. According to n2013dollars.com, that would be $36.52 in today's money. In contrast, Sunday-only delivery for the Clarion Ledger is about $135 per year. The WPA files also list several stories from the early papers, including the new fire truck bought for the Calhoun City CCC camp to fight forest fires, a story on W.O. Lawrence, the first female alderwoman in Calhoun County and possibly the state, a new post office opening in Bruce in 1928, and coverage of a cyclone that hit the county on February 22, 1912. One Calhoun County resident and future governor, Dennis Murphy, was the originator of the No Mississippi Better Train, a public relations campaign aimed at bringing attention to what Mississippi had to offer. According to USM's Special Collections website, the No Mississippi Better Train made annual trips around the country with representatives from the state of Mississippi from August 25th through September 10th and had exhibit cars, 8 Pullman cars, and 2 dining cars. The train made this circuit each year from 1925 to 1948, except for 4 years during World War II. The Know Mississippi Better train, as well as Dennis Murphy's brief history, is described in the WPA files. If you're interested in learning more about the WPA files, please visit the Mississippi Library Commission's website at www.mlc.lib.ms.us to view digital copies, or call the reference desk at 601-432-4492. If you're looking for more information about local history, visit your local Mississippi Public Library.
All right, next up on our list following Calhoun County will be a short segment on Chickasaw County. This research was done by Alex Brower, but was presented by yours truly. Hope you enjoy. This is MLC Moments. I'm Zach Burton with the Mississippi Library Commission. Today, we're going to talk about MLC's collection of WPA papers, digitized records from the 1930s when the Works Progress Administration sent field workers to each county to compile local histories. Whether you want to learn about local flora and fauna, notable homes and people, or read some old-timey gossip, the WPA files are worth exploring. Our featured file this week contains research from Chickasaw County. Chickasaw County was organized in 1836, with Houston being made its county seat. In Okolona, there was a black business district on Main Street. One of the business owners was Charlie Gilliam, who ran a general mercantile store. In addition to running a business, Mr. Gilliam lectured about the advancement of black people in Mississippi and exchanged correspondence with notable figures such as Booker T. Washington. He made a lasting impact on the children of Okolona by helping to found the Okolona Industrial School and then serving as one of the trustees. According to Mr. Gilliam's obituary, he worked at the Gaston Hotel in Memphis and as a Pullman porter for the Frisco Railroad before opening his store. He lived a long life, passing away in 1962 at the age of 92. In addition to Charlie Gilliam's mercantile, there was a cafe, a shoe repair shop, a medical office, and a Masonic Hall. If you're interested in seeing this district, you can look at the 1925 Sanborn map of Okolona. The Masonic Hall is featured prominently on Main Street, as described by the papers. Another notable figure discussed in the papers is a person named only as Mr. Jensen, who moved to Houston from Denmark. Originally called Scram Jensen, he shortened his name upon moving to America. He was a successful baker in Houston, and in his native country he had participated in the 1906 Olympics in Greece. Looking at the Wikipedia page of winners for these games, there is indeed a Marius Scram Jensen who won a silver medal in the gymnastics division. However, these medals are no longer recognized by the Olympic Committee. The 1906 series of contests was called the Intercalated Games and intended to take place between each Olympic Games. The 1906 Games were the first to have many of the traditions we associate with the Olympics today, including formal opening and closing ceremonies, an Olympic village, and raising the finalists' national flags. Unfortunately, Greece was unable to maintain the Intercalated Games past 1906, and as the Intercalated Games did not fit into the four-year Olympic schedule, they are no longer formally recognized. However, Marius Scram Jensen is still an Olympian in our hearts. Local legends include tales about a spot called the Witch's Dance, which was located on Okolona Road between Houston and Van Fleet. It is set in a deep hollow and full of trees. However, there is a spot where nothing grows and no leaves will stay. Supposedly, it is where witches dance, which is why nothing can thrive there. In this spot, W. McNorton claims to have been riding home one night and saw someone coming down the road towards him. As the person got closer, he could make out a woman's shape, and his horse refused to continue along the road. As she got closer, Mr. McNorton discovered that she had no head, and in the witch's dance, there was a group of headless women. As he tried to draw his pistol and fire, it snapped on him, and he never could get it to shoot. If you'd like to try and find this area for yourself, there is the Witch Dance Horse Trail as part of the Natchez Trace Parkway. Dental hygiene of the county is described in detail in these papers. Starting in the 1924 to 1925 school year, dental inspections were performed in various schools throughout the county. The author of the papers notes that the trend of, quote, okay, unquote, mouths trended upward during the years of these inspections. During a tour of 23 schools in March 1935, a dental hygienist discovered that the majority of students used black gum brushes instead of manufactured ones and had surprisingly clean teeth. After one visit, the local drugstore sold two of the newfangled manufactured toothbrushes to one teacher. If you're interested in making your own black gum toothbrush, all you need is a stick from a black gum tree about the size of a pencil. Chew on the end of the toothbrush so that it frays and softens. You can use salt or baking soda along with your homemade toothbrush if you so choose. If you're interested in learning more about the WPA files, please visit the Mississippi Library Commission's website at www.mlc.lib.ms.us to view digital copies or call the reference desk at 601-432-4492. If you're looking for more information about local history, please visit your local Mississippi Public Library. Okay, we only have one more short section left to finish this roundup of our WPA files. Last but certainly not least, we will have Miss Alex Brower giving us a little overview of some of the WPA files of Carroll County. Enjoy.
This is MLC Moments. I'm Alex Brower with the Mississippi Library Commission. Today, we are going to talk about MLC's collection of WPA papers, digitized records from the 1930s when the Works Progress Administration sent field workers to each county to compile local histories. Whether you want to learn about local flora and fauna, notable homes and people, or read some old-timey gossip, the WPA files are worth exploring. Our featured county this week is Carroll County, which was established by Legislative Act in 1833. The county was named after Charles G. Carroll of Maryland, who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. If you're interested in seeing Mr. Carrollton's signature, you can visit the National Archives website at www.archives.gov and visit the America's Founding Documents tab. Mr. Carroll's signature is located three names down from John Hancock's signature. The WPA files are full of information about local animals, large and small. The eating habits of the alligator are discussed in the Carroll County files, namely their diet, which is said to include crustaceous insects, spiders, fishes, and turtles. If you are also wondering whether alligators actually eat spiders, the answer is yes. According to Texas Parks and Wildlife, American alligators less than 3 feet in length mainly eat spiders, insects, and other foods small enough for them to swallow whole. Another animal mentioned in the Carroll County files is a chameleon native to Mississippi. These chameleons are not the brightly colored, slow-moving reptilians with bulging eyes that you may picture in your mind, however. The American chameleon, or green anole, is a small lizard which is bright green, but can turn dark brown in seconds. Its eyes also move independently of each other, much like its more famous chameleon cousins. You are sure to have seen it around your garden. Aside from native wildlife, notable homes are discussed in the papers, including Malmaison, the home of Greenwood LaFleur. According to the Mississippi Encyclopedia, Greenwood was born in 1800 and was a Choctaw leader during the 1820s and 1830s, served in the Mississippi legislature, and was a leading cotton planter in the state. He built Malmaison when he retired from public life in 1854. Unfortunately, the home burned down in 1942. While pictures that can be found of the property give some idea of its grandeur, the WPA files go into specific details about its layout, decorations, and Italian marble fireplaces. According to the files, the home's furniture was made to order in Paris to fit the measurements of the house, and charts were sent showing exactly how it should be arranged. Miniature windows with the cornice and drapery arrangements were also sent as a guide and then displayed at the house. At the time the papers were written, the house was open to the public for a very nominal yet unspecified admission fee. Not every house was as grand as Malmaison, and the grand houses did not protect residents of Carroll County from pests and illness. The WPA files are full of information on folk remedies and how-tos on dealing with these pests, in particular, the mosquito, which spread malaria. Malaria isn't an ever-present danger for most Mississippians today, but it certainly was a danger in the past. There were no trucks driving through neighborhoods and spraying for mosquitoes, so residents of Carroll County had to take care of these insects themselves. There were several programs designed to quell mosquito populations. Circulars about malaria control and hygiene were distributed to school children to take home. Children were also paid to drive nail holes in cans or buckets that could hold water and breed mosquito larvae, and were instructed to pour coal oil on refrigerator drain puddles under houses if they did not have mechanical refrigeration. The files do mention that the health department was part-time, and it seems that the lack of staffing was made up by way of child recruits. If you're interested in learning more about the WPA files, please visit the Mississippi Library Commission's website at www.mlc.lib.ms.us to view digital copies, or call the reference desk at 601-432-4492. If you're looking for more information about local history, visit your local Mississippi Public Library.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stacks and Stories, the podcast of the Mississippi Library Commission. We hope you will tune in next time, and we encourage you to visit your local public library often.